Hello and welcome to this week's International Media with me, Amanda Morrow. Today's show looks at how social media is helping to unveil the human side of the refugee camp in Calais, northern France, which is known as the jungle. Plus, the EU criticises Turkey over ongoing restrictions to press freedom. And in a bid to protect information from US surveillance, Microsoft is setting up data centres in Germany. Social media may be a refugee's best friend. Ordinary people are turning to activism, and grassroots campaigns are being set up by volunteers who are taking it upon themselves to find real solutions to a humanitarian issue that has paralysed governments. You don't need to visit the so-called jungle refugee camp in Calais to know the migrants there are living in squalor. The situation is being documented every day on Facebook, Twitter, and countless other social media websites, where photos and videos are published and where volunteers coordinate, exchange ideas and fundraise. These platforms are being used to create awareness and to instigate change. Jim Innes is a charity worker from West Yorkshire who started collecting donations for refugees after seeing pictures of Aylin Kurdi, the Syrian toddler who washed up on a beach in Turkey. Through social media, Jim met Rob Laurie, a former soldier who made international headlines after he was caught trying to smuggle a four-year-old Afghan girl across the English Channel and deliver her to relatives in Leeds. Laurie is facing a five-year jail sentence in France for what's being widely described as a crime of compassion. Innes set up two online petitions, one in the UK and the other in France, urging the relevant government representatives to push for clemency when Laurie faces court in January. At the time of writing, nearly 45,000 people had signed the English petition on the website 38degrees.org, while the petition in French on the campaigning site change.org had gathered nearly 78,000 signatures. Innes says that he's been overwhelmed at the response.
What was amazing was I was actually underwhelmed after in 2 days I'd only got 2,500 signatures because it seemed so important to me. But I was called by the people at 38 Degrees who said that usually they'd expect 400 at that point. And my friend Sylvain, who is French, who had helped write the French petition and set that one up, at the time was feeling bad about French people because we had about 118 signatures in the same time. And then I got some help from 38 Degrees, the independent newspaper in England picked it up. And then with that happening, I think that it was published in France in a couple of papers and there was support then as we got more and more signatures from change.org to publicise that more. So the help from the petitions after we'd got for them, which was fantastic interest in the first place, it's just taken off in France. And the French one you can sign globally. So there's people from all over the world signing it now. I mean, there's been articles from Indonesia to Australia, Canada, from all across Europe. So it's been an amazing response.
1,500 people have joined a Facebook group called Support Rob Laurie, who himself has set up a crowdfunder campaign to raise money to help the Afghan girl named Bahar to the UK and also to build shelters for other refugees in the camp as winter approaches. Aid workers say they've been overwhelmed by the numbers of people, including unaccompanied minors, who are fleeing war, poverty and oppression. Innes says social media has been an indispensable tool for volunteers.
You know what, it's just that you can share stories so readily and people can pass them on, so it's that domino knock-on effect and it just puts it out there. And so even the Facebook support group, which was first just local people that kind of knew Rob, and that support group on there has got, well, I don't even know now, but it was more than 1,500 people, I think, that have gone on there to show support for him. And that's where we've been sharing stories and they've been going on from there.
Since the refugee crisis began, mass online activism under the Refugees Welcome hashtag has pressured elected leaders to do more, with high-profile celebrities using the movement to pledge their support. In a bid to dissuade asylum seekers, Authorities in Norway have taken to social media to inform Afghans coming from Russia that their chances of residency are limited. Oslo says its Facebook page, entitled Stricter Asylum Regulations, is aimed at providing factual information for migrants regarding changing asylum laws. In a sign of Europe's eagerness to win Turkey's help in stemming the flow of migrants, the EU this week said that Turkey is more or less ready to start negotiations on joining the bloc. But in a report on Ankara's EU candidacy, the European Commission called on Turkey to take urgent action to lift restrictions on media freedoms, accusing Ankara of intimidating journalists. It's called for threats and attacks against journalists to be investigated. Here's EU Enlargement Negotiations Chief Johan Hahn speaking to the European Parliament.
Over the past year, significant shortcomings affected the independence of the judiciary, as well as freedom of assembly and freedom of expression, in particular as regards increased pressure and intimidation of journalists and media outlets, as well as amendments to the internet law which allow blocking media content. Reforms in these key areas are an indispensable priority in Turkey's accession process.
The report had been due for release in October, but was held back until after elections, which gave Recep Tayyip Erdogan's AKP party back its majority. Ankara has described the criticism in the report as unfair and excessive. Following a series of US surveillance scandals that have worried Europeans, the US company Microsoft says it's building data centres in Germany to offer cloud services. The information will be handed over to a data trustee operating under German law. Paul Miller is an analyst at Forrester Research in the United Kingdom. He told me the move will help restore European trust in US-operated cloud services.
The announcement from Microsoft and T-Systems will do a lot to reassure European customers that they can make use of technology from US companies and feel safe and secure in the knowledge that their data is going to be protected to the full extent of European law. After all, German law is amongst the most secure and the most data aware of any of the European legislations.
Could you just tell me a little bit about the differences within European law? Because I know Microsoft's already announced that it's opening data centres in the UK. So what is it that makes Germany even safer?
Microsoft already has European data centres in Amsterdam and in Dublin. And earlier this week, they did announce that they would be opening two more data centres in the UK, as you say. The point that makes Germany different is that this German data center is going to be operated by T-Systems, which is a German company. And Microsoft and T-Systems are appointing a data trustee, which will be recognized under German law. That data trustee will be T-Systems themselves. But what this means is that Microsoft has no direct involvement in the running of the data center or in providing access to the data that's stored there. Microsoft is an American company, and as such, they're under the jurisdiction of US legal authorities wherever they happen to be operating in the world. So Microsoft's data center in Ireland at the moment, for example, is subject to a legal case in the States where the US legal authorities are trying to pressure Microsoft to provide access to customer data stored in Ireland. So that's a nagging worry for European customers and for customers elsewhere in the world. By appointing this data trustee, Microsoft is removed from that obligation. Even if Microsoft wants to give up the data, even if Microsoft are threatened with legal action to give up the data, they simply cannot.
Can we expect then other US tech companies to adopt similar measures?
I think all of the US technology companies in this space are going to be looking very closely at what Microsoft and T-Systems have done. But at the end of the day, this decision, like a lot of other business decisions, is going to be about reaching a balance. This really only applies to the most secure and the most sensitive of personal customer data. And by doing what Microsoft and T-Systems have done in Germany, they've raised the costs of operating that data center.
Paul Miller there, an analyst at Forrester Research in the United Kingdom. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's show. You've been listening to International Media with me, Amanda Morrow.